giving all profits from Newman's Own to charity, and pursuing the common good for over 30 years.
88.9 WCVE Richmond Public Radio. WCVE news analyst Jeff Shapiro joins us now for his regular Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne. Doug, are you?
Oh, I think so. Well, last night, late, a federal judge in Norfolk ruled that Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional.
A game changer, one would suggest, certainly brightening the lines between the political parties, and a reminder as well that to the outside world, this is a decision involving a southern state. This would be the first time a voter-approved prohibition on same-sex marriage has been reversed in the South. But those of us who live here, including come here such as myself, know that Virginia is not nearly as southern as it once was. Perhaps the Republicans who were forceful in their advocacy of the same-sex marriage ban in 2006 are going to begin to rethink their position on this issue. Now, recognizing that this order will be stayed or has been stayed, and a clear indication that it will not be fully settled until the Supreme Court takes a swing at it. But one would think that Republicans are giving a lot of thought to what they might be able to do to appeal to voters increasingly turned off by their tough positions on some social issues, and including their perceived hostility to gays. Will there be more moderate Republicans, and there are not many of them left, who will begin to urge the party to shift on this issue? Again, this prohibition was approved comfortably with a 56% majority in 2006. But public opinion polls suggest that a comparable percentage of Virginians now oppose the prohibition on same-sex marriage. Now, by the way, this issue, the Attorney General's refusal to support it, and this is something that the press had speculated on for months before the election, is among the reasons that Bob Marshall, a very conservative member of the House of Delegates, and one of the architects of this ban, is making this late splash, running for Frank Wolf's open congressional seat in Northern Virginia.
And incidentally, Attorney General Herring will be interviewed on Morning Edition just a little bit later in this hour. It was crossover day at the General Assembly, meaning each of the two chambers had to dispose of bills originating in one chamber or the other by Tuesday of this week. The big splash was about ethics reform, but the consensus legislation that seems to be making its way through the Capitol really wouldn't do very much. Would you call it window dressing?
These would be largely toothless measures, assuming the House and the Senate come to terms and send something on to the governor. One wonders, maybe the governor, who has proposed certainly more forceful restrictions for himself, his staff, and his family, might try to amend these bills, assuming, again, that he gets one. But to editorialists and good government groups, these measures are underwhelming. For example, the bills would prohibit tangible gifts over $250, but not intangible gifts. So Bob McDonnell couldn't accept that Rolex watch from Johnny Williams, but he could, as his daughter did, accept $15,000 from Williams to pay for one of the daughters, McDonald daughters, weddings. So this is a reminder that when it comes to policing themselves, the legislature wants as much flexibility as possible. And a footnote, the legal defense fund that has been set up to help Bob McDonnell underwrite his defense against those corruption charges, says he's going to need at least $1 million to cover his legal bills. He hasn't come anywhere close to raising that. There have been some five-figure donations of late from some Republican big shots, including Fred Malik. He threw in $10,000. But the I guess the Ray Nagin conviction down in Dallas, he is the fallen New Orleans mayor, is going to call it additional attention to these high-stakes public corruption cases, including the one that has ensnared Bob McDonnell and his wife, Maureen.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday, the budget committees of the House of Delegates and the State Senate will unveil their respective budgets for the next 2 years, starting July 1st. And it's been revealed that both of them will propose some funds to build a new legislative office building on Capitol Square.
Ah, yes. The boys and girls of winter, considering their creature comforts. This has been a big issue for a long time. The Senate has been pushing for a refit or a replacement of the General Assembly building, one of the worst, sickest office buildings around. Lots of leaks, crummy HVAC system, asbestos. This is part of a $300 million package that will involve a refit as well of Old City Hall and a lot of musical chairs that would begin as of 2016. That is something on which the House and Senate apparently agree. Apparently, there may be some difficulties within the House caucus on this one. But something on which the House and Senate will not agree is Medicaid for Obamacare. There are going to be very different positions staked out on it. The Senate is trying to come up with some way to get these dollars, these billions of dollars, into Virginia. The House resisting. However, the House recently approved yet another audit of the Medicaid program, and one wonders if they're maybe providing a measure of cover for themselves to retreat on Medicaid expansion for Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. And just real briefly in the time remaining, there is one more special election in the Eastern Shore, Hampton Roads area to fill a House seat. This is kind of a domino effect that was set off by the election of two state senators to statewide offices in November.
Yes, February 25th. The Republicans think they can pick this one up. That would give them a 67th seat in the House of Delegates, arithmetically a veto-proof majority in the House of Delegates.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, who joins us each Friday morning here on 88.9 WCVE to analyze the Virginia political news.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Syrian peace talks.